No one. All right, guys, come on up. And well, you can start in the back. I have quiz over the armor of God. 15 questions. 15 questions. I made 45 of them. We're pushing 45 tonight. Just glancing. I wanted 20 questions, but I could only fit 15. There's multiple guesses, and true and false, and fill in the blank. And this is not an open book test. Shut your Bibles. If you could open your Bibles, it would be simple. That's why I said at the end of the service, study, read Ephesians 6. Well, yeah, I'm not going to just come out and tell you. Teachers don't do that. Don't they always do pop quizzes? We may have one. What is that? Yeah, that means we are. I'm not going to pretend. Questions. 15 questions. The first 10 questions I found on the internet, and I got them all right. So I figured you folks could too. No, I found the test on the internet, and I took it. I was going through and taking it, and I got 10 out of 10. So. Those fill in the blanks, by the way, those are New King James. So if you like read in some other translation, the Old King James I think is the same. But if you use some newer, newfangled translation, it might be a different word. What? Is everybody at least on the back page? One more. Waiting on Bill. Everybody else done? You're done? Okay. All right, you can go ahead and grade your own. Number one, the armor of God helps Christians fight against the devil. But according to Ephesians 6:10, what else does it do? Anybody? Okay. It'd be C. I guess I didn't put A, B, C. The third one. Number two, the first piece of God's armor is honest goodness used to hold all this gear together. What kind of belt is in the armor of God? Belt of truth. Number three, the next piece of God's armor is the breastplate of righteousness. It protects the soldier's heart. What is righteousness? Okay, see, I was trying to be tricky on that one. Those answers. Number four, good soldiers also need shoes. His shoes don't encourage fighting, but bring joy from his good news. What are the shoes of God's armor called? Okay. Number five, shields keep soldiers from being injured by many objects that are thrown at them. What kind of weapon did Paul say the shield of faith would protect God's soldiers from? Incorrect, bombs of Satan. I'm kidding. That's what the NIV says, bombs of Satan. I'm kidding, it doesn't. Fiery darts of the devil. Number six, God's soldiers have a very special hat in their armor that protects their mind. What is this helmet called? Helmet of Salvation. Anybody got them all perfect up to this point? Almost everybody, okay. Number seven, in God's armor, his soldiers put on the gloves of strength. True or false? Okay, false. Eight, God has given his soldiers a very special sword of the Spirit to fight the devil with. What book is the sword of the Spirit and is also known as God's Word? Bible. Number nine, a good soldier must always keep in contact with his commander. According to Ephesians 6, how do God's soldiers get directions from him? Pray. And that's actually what we're talking about tonight. So if you got that one right, it's kind of easy, but you're ahead of the game. Number 10, the man who wrote the scripture about the armor of God also wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Who was this church leader? Paul, answers Paul. Number 11, the weapons we fight with are not fleshly. This one might have been trickier. We read this verse one time, these verses one time a couple weeks back. Are not fleshly, but are useful for... all of the above. All of the above is the correct answer. All of the above. Number 12. The emphasis is not on going, but on standing. True or false? True. True. It is on standing. All right, fill in the blank. Number 13. We fight against... principalities and powers. It doesn't matter what order they're in. Principalities and powers. Number 14, according to Ephesians 6:13, what will we be able to do by putting on the whole armor of God? Stand. Stand. Any variation of stand. Stand. That's what we're looking for. Stand. Remember, that's the word that's repeated 3 or 4 times. All right, number 15. This is tonight's lesson, actually, verse 18. How often are we supposed to pray? Always. Continuously, I'll accept that. Always. All right, did anybody get them all right? There's too many of you to give a prize to. Great. We lucked out. All right, Ephesians chapter 6. You can turn there now. Ephesians 6. This is the very tail end. I've called it the wrap-up of the armor of God. Verse 18 is where we're at. Ephesians 6, 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Pray always. Prayer is this final part, final piece of the believer's armor. Pray always. Is that a pretty common theme throughout the Scriptures? Pray always. Anybody know any other verses that teach the same thing? 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. I thought it was 18 too, and I looked it up. It's 17. Pray continuously or pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Jesus also taught it, and this one didn't come to my thoughts right away until I saw it again. Luke 18, 1 says, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart or not to faint. So no matter how difficult the situation is, no matter how challenging the problem might be, we should pray all the time. In fact, Jesus gives us two options, doesn't he? Either pray or give up. Pray or faint. And what option did Jesus always choose? He always chose prayer. He always chose prayer. He always opted to pray. So this is important for each of us because if we've put on all the armor, right, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the boots of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, if we have all that stuff, might we still be in danger? Okay. A danger. Pastor, if I have all these pieces of armor on, I have the sword of the Spirit, nothing can beat me, right? That's the danger, actually. The danger of overconfidence. Or the danger of relying on yourself. So we need prayer. Ultimately, even if we have all the armor on, we still need divine protection. We still need God's help, God's intervention, and that's where prayer comes in. One pastor, I was reading his sermon, and he gave this illustration that prayer should be like breathing. Breathing just comes naturally. It's easy. In fact, try holding your breath for a moment. Hold your breath. Can you do it? You can't. You know what? It's harder to hold your breath than it is to breathe. You ever thought about that before? I had never put two and two together. It's more difficult to hold our breath than it is to breathe because eventually if you hold your breath long enough, you'll either pass out and your body will make you breathe or it'll just overwhelmingly take over and you will breathe. And that's what this pastor was saying. Prayer should be that way. It should just become natural. It should just be ordinary and it should be regular and consistent and easy like breathing. In fact, it should become more difficult for us not to pray than it is praying. It's more difficult to find you in a state or a situation where you're not praying than you are, or praying rather than praying. That doesn't make sense. I better move on. Prayer should be like breathing. It should be easy. Let's go a little bit deeper in this verse, though. Verse 18. What word is repeated the most in that one verse? Okay, I think I heard it. All. All and always. Count them. 4 times. If you count always, that's the same. They're all the same Greek word. It's pas. P-A-S. That means all or always. 4 times in one verse. Now, if something's repeated that many times, what do you think it means? Pay attention. This is important. Okay? It doesn't take a brain surgeon to know that all in these verses must be significant. And all speaks of a few things, and we'll go through these quickly. Number one, frequency. When do we pray, according to the verse, the very first word? All the time, right? At all times. I'm going to throw out a few verses just, I'll go quick. Luke 21:36. Somebody might be quicker than me. I'm not going too fast tonight. Luke 21:36 talks about the frequency of prayer. Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Acts 6:4, just past that. That first one was Jesus talking. Here's Acts 6:4. It's some of the earliest apostles. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Romans 12:12, this wouldn't just only apply to apostles or Jesus. Listen to this. It says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. That's for everybody. Colossians 4:2, another one, continue earnestly in prayer. Over and over, the Bible just tells us that prayer should be frequent, should be an all-the-time thing. This would indicate that prayers shouldn't be formulas. You know what I'm saying there? Some religions, some cultures even, they have these formula prayers, and they do these recitations, and it's the same prayer over and over and over again. And maybe they even pray, well, we have to pray at this certain time of day, and then later on at this time of the day, like it's a scheduled prayer. I don't think this is talking about a formula prayer or a scheduled prayer. This is talking about a pattern of our lives, where it's just frequently littered all throughout the day. Okay? Prayer. If you see something good, what should your prayer be? Thanksgiving or praise? If you see something sinful, what should the prayer be? Well, if it's your own sin, it should be confession. If it's somebody else's sin, ask God to make it right. Okay? You see someone in trouble, you pray. Praying all the time, just frequently. Every situation that you run into, I think that's one of the first reasons why there's the word all. The second reason, all, is variety. It says pray always, meaning all the time, and then pray in all prayers and supplications is the old word there. That would talk about variety of prayer, all types of prayers. Can you think of any types of prayers we pray here in church? When somebody goes up front at the pulpit, that would be a public prayer. And then when we're praying at night in our rooms, that's a private prayer. Variety of prayers. Sometimes we pray with our eyes closed. Sometimes we pray with our eyes open because we're driving down the road. Sometimes, or we have kids that are running around the house and we don't want them to destroy stuff. So we have one eye open. Sometimes we pray with our hands folded. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we pray looking up with our hands up, like pleading for God's help. Sometimes we're down on our knees. There's all different types of prayers. There's all these varieties, and this is part of our defense against the evil one. We need this communication with the Lord, this prayer with the Lord to defeat Satan. Pray in every way you can, every possible way. Pray all kinds of prayers in every circumstance. Prayer. There's some verses I'm going to read here too. 1 Timothy 5:5 says, now, this is actually talking about widows. The widow who is really a widow left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers. When? Night and day. She's just praying all the time. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Luke 6:12. Jesus, it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. And then the other verse I was going to look at was Psalms 55, 17 says, evening and morning and noon, I will pray and cry aloud to God, and he will hear my voice. Variety of prayer, all the time, all throughout the day. The third all would indicate the manner of prayer. After supplications and prayers, what did it say? It sort of describes the manner of prayer. In all perseverance. I want to make sure I get the word right. What, anybody have anything different? It says, that's a great one, Bill. It says, all perseverance and supplication. That's the manner of prayer. What's perseverance talking about in this particular spot? Any other words that may sort of put the light bulb on in our head a little better? Keep pressing on, perseverance. Okay, I think that I have actually in my notes, I have alert. Being alert and aware, or know what you're praying about. I think this is what, when you pray, know what you're praying about. Let me explain a common prayer. If you go down and teach junior church, or if you ever work with small children, and you mention, oh, these missionaries need prayer, and it comes time to pray, how are they going to pray? Lord, bless the missionaries. You ever heard anything like that? Or, I want peace all over the world, or I pray for all the people of the world. It's these gigantic blanket-type requests, and I think this is talking about being specific. Know what you're praying about. With all perseverance, be alert and aware of what you're praying about. Mark chapter 14, verse 38 is a verse I was going to read. Mark 14. It says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Watch. I think that's the key. Know what you're talking about. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. One pastor said that most of us don't persevere in prayer. We're not really alert in our prayer life until something tragic happens to us. Then all of a sudden, we get really specific. We get really concentrating with the needs, and we lay it all right out, exactly what's needed. So that type of prayer. And then lastly, and then I'll talk, I have really quick, and then I'll get your question. And then finally, what's the object of prayer in that verse? That's the last all. All the saints, okay? All the saints. Don't just think of your own problems. Think of others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be, that even when we kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Totally out of tune, but I tried. And Bill, go ahead with your question or comment. Uh-huh. And there's also the story of the unjust judge where the woman kept going back to the judge and it was persistent prayer. Yeah, those are great. I always like that story about the neighbor waking up the other neighbor. The first time he knocks on the door, there's, hey, go away, my family's sleeping. Knocks on the door the second time and the one little toddler wakes up. Knocks on the door the next time, the baby wakes up and starts screaming and everybody's awake in the house. So then he might as well get up and, yeah, you're already awake now. I'll get you the bread. Yeah, that's the way I picture it in my head. That's the way it would happen in our house. Anything else? Any other? Kelly. No, because I think you know what you're praying about. Right? the person that's asking for the unspoken, they're praying right along with everybody. So they know. I don't think you would, I have an unspoken, I don't know what it's about, you know. I think you'd know, you know, generally speaking, you know what you're asking. Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is if we're collectively praying as a group, we're all praying together and we're sort of in tune. We're all talking to God, and just because one person doesn't know all the specifics, the person that asks is right there next to him. You're supposed to be praying right along with the people that are actually talking out loud. Carrie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Any other comments? Persevering until we get the answer. Yeah. Did you hear any updates about Mark Mortar? Okay. Well, I just was curious if Pastor Ann announced it. He's going to have radiation 5 days a week for a month and chemo once every 3 weeks. And then once the radiation stops, he's going to switch to a different type of chemo and he's going to have it every week. And she said the tumor, they've found it, tested it. It's a type of melanoma that they know a cure for, like 90% cure or something like that. The problem is his is a slightly different type that they've never seen before. So Joanne said they're giving him like a 40% chance. So pray for Mark Mortar, and also pray for Luke Dennis, June and Martin's grandson. He's small, what is he, 4? And he's been having some different issues over the last couple of years, and they're doing an MRI in his brain, and they're worried about some different, like, degradation of the brain or something like that. Deteriorating, okay. So pray for Luke. That sounds pretty serious. Also pray for, I'll get you in a second. Also pray for Sarah Kishpah. Sarah Kishpah was in the hospital, and she was sent home Thursday. Not home, sorry. She was sent to CareTel, and she needs at least 2 weeks of rehab. And her legs, from being sick with infection, flu, all kinds of things, her legs just basically have no strength. So she's going to go to 2 weeks of rehab at CareTel in Linden. So if you want to stop in at CareTel, say hi to Sarah, and I was there a while, and I went to Jack and Rose's room first, and that was probably a mistake because I was there for a really long time talking, but Rose, I was surprised. She's doing great. You've been praying for Rose Hetchler. She has pneumonia in one lung, and she has what the doctors call congestive heart failure, but they're getting that to go away, and she's doing really well, and she went home. Jack called me, and she was home as well. And I think that was Thursday she went home. So Mark, Luke, Sarah, Rose, anything else? Okay, he's getting a brain scan, Mark. Okay. Okay. He's getting a brain scan to make sure that the cancer didn't migrate somewhere. Okay. Is there any other updates or prayer requests that should be mentioned? Jan? Okay, we can pray about that. Well, I was actually going to pray right now, but I can pray again with you too. Or actually, we can get three or four people and we can pray with you once church is done. But if you would bow your heads and hearts and we'll just sort of practice what was just preached. I pray all the time. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you and we are very thankful that you are faithful in every circumstance, Lord. We fail, we make mistakes, we mess up constantly, but Father, you are always perfect. You're always righteous. You're always holy, and we're grateful for that. And Lord, that's why we're coming to you with some of these prayers and requests and issues. Lord, we're at our wit's end at some of them. With Mark, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We're sort of trusting you and trusting that you will guide the doctors and we pray that every one of these tests that he's going through, that there would be an accurate reading so that the men and women that are reading the test would know exactly what the steps would take. We would pray that the medicines and this radiation and chemo would work and destroy this cancer. And Lord, we won't give anyone else the credit or the praise but you, because we know you'd be behind it. Lord, we also think of Luke and, Lord, these behavior things that maybe led to searching for some medical thing, and the doctors are now worried about that there might be some deterioration in his brain. And this seems like a really heavy, heavy issue, Lord. It is. Just this four-year-old boy. So, Lord, we put him in your hands, and we trust you to heal him. We trust you to help him grow up and serve you and love you and believe in you and be saved. And then he can look back on it years from now and point to your faithfulness that got him through this. Lord, we think of Sarah and Rose. We're thankful that they were able to leave the hospital. We're thankful that they're alert and talking, and we're thankful that Rose is walking, and Lord, she's on oxygen now, but Lord, continue to give her body some strength that she needs to do her daily life and chores and the things. Lord, continue to give Sarah the strength she needs so she can build up muscle in her legs so she can walk and do the things, and may this therapy at CareTel be a success. Lord, we also think of Jan and the hardship she's gone through her in her life, losing her mom. Lord, is something big weighing on her. Lord, she has this anxiety, and Lord, you know every detail of every worry that's gone on in her heart and life. So Lord, give her the strength she needs as well, that emotional strength and mental strength as she deals with the loss of her mom. And Lord, just continue to guide and grow our church and bring us to the place exactly where you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, can we do 284? The song that is playing here at the end, I don't really know it that well. So we're going to sing a different one. 284. We sang it this morning. We sang verses 2 and 3 this morning.